for being a God that we can trust, a God that would not be distant, but God, thank you for coming close to us. And so we ask in this time together that you would draw close to us as we open our hearts to receive this message, as we open our minds to hear it and absorb it. God, open us up so that we might not only receive but to give. God, thank you for helping us to come a little closer into who you are and who we are in you. God, we love you and we thank you. God, we ask that these words might be a blessing, and that you might add that blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've been starting into this sermon series on the characteristics of God. Who is God? Who is the God that is? And there is a verse in the Old Testament that is referenced more than any other verse in the Old Testament. And it is God revealing who God is to Moses. It was on Mount Sinai. And it was Mount Sinai, as Moses is receiving the Ten Commandments, God's people are at the bottom of the mountain and they're throwing a party and they've made a golden calf and they're calling it God. And God has every right to be angry. But in that, God reveals God's character to Moses in this verse. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming. Now the word proclaiming is the word inviting. It's not just proclaiming, but it's bringing them in, bringing him into this information. Inviting. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in loyal love and faithfulness. Today we're talking about slow to anger, and it is the Hebrew word, the words erech apayim. Could you say that? Erech apayim. And what that means is literally long of nose or nostril, which makes very little sense, right? What does that mean, that God is long of nostril or long of nose? Well, okay, so the Hebrew expression for being angry is hot of face or hot of nose, right? And that's easy to understand. It's where we could understand ourselves as being hot-headed. You ever met somebody that's hot-headed? Maybe it's you. I'm raising my hand. I've been hot-headed as well. And anger is something that we are struggle with. You know, I struggle with anger. Many of you have struggled with anger. Some anger is, and this, by the way, this long of nose is of course, God doesn't have a nose. And so this is already a $5 word, anthropomorphism. I was walking with my boys yesterday and said, hey, do you know what anthropomorphism means? And we sort of got it together. It's when you assign human characteristics on something that's not human. So we assign this human characteristic for God as far as we can relate to being hot-headed or this. So God being slow to anger. And I want to talk, to understand really what that is, you kind of have to understand what it's not. God's anger is not like our anger, okay? We all have stories of when our anger or maybe somebody else's anger made them lose control. I used to drive a little Toyota car. I love that car. It's called the Holy Toaster. And it was like a little box. And may it rest in peace, the Holy Toaster. I still mourn the loss of that automobile. And it was cute and little, and it wasn't very manly, but I didn't care. I was only going like 2 miles to church. And I remember so vividly pulling out. Now, I had plenty of space to pull out. It takes the Holy Toaster a long time to get up to speed, you see. And there was a monster truck, you know, one that's been lifted, maybe not a monster truck, but it looked like a monster to the Holy Toaster, coming up behind me, flashing his lights, honking his horn, giving me the wave, you know the wave. Both hands are waving with only two fingers. And it got right up to me, and we stopped at the stoplight, and I rolled down the window, and this little 16-year-old kid just yelling and screaming, hot in the nose, and I just apologized. I said, I'm so sorry. I thought I had more space to get up to speed, and he sort of melted a little bit, and he was... I don't know if he was sorry that he was so mad, but he was so, so mad. And I thought, what is it? I mean, there's got to be something. I wonder if that young man was angry before he came up behind my little car or not. He pulled out behind me, and then I pulled right into the church and got out. I don't know if that affected him in any way at all. And I just think, you know, that is so not what God's anger is like. God's not irrational with anger. God's anger is not unpredictable sometimes like ours is. And I struggle with anger that's you know, really hot and explosive, and then I'm cool after that. And where does it come from? Why does it erupt like that? That's not how God's anger works. God's anger is not an under the surface, like low level anger that's just always there, like resentment. It's no resentment with God. God's not morally offended in the same way that we would be, or hurt in the same way that we are. But God does get angry. And it's important to think about and to know why God gets angry. And it's much more like a story that I heard this morning, God's anger. There was a story that Mary Lou told me this morning. She said she went to take her little dog, Willie Nelson, in to have the blessing of the animals. And there was little Willie Nelson. And we didn't have the blessing of the animals last year, so she went to St. Matthew's, I believe, and there was a priest, and several other animals were getting blessed, and she went up there with Willie Nelson. There was somebody else there with some Rottweilers and a Jack Russell Terrier, and they started snipping and barking at Willie Nelson, and Mary Lou kind of got a little scared. She hollered out, "Control your animals!" And then all of a sudden she was sorry that she'd said that, and she apologized to the priest. I love what the priest said. "You must really love your dog." It was anger, but it was out of a deep love and out of a concern for the well-being of her beloved Willie Nelson. I just love that story because that ties into how God is angry. God is not indifferent to evil. God is slow to anger, which means that God gives God's people way more, he puts up with their rebellion way longer than is even reasonable. But God does get angry. I love this definition of anger from the Bible Project. We're starting a Bible study a week from Wednesday on the 17th, and we're using the Bible Project, but I love how this is said. Anger is a divine reaction to selfish and destructive human decisions and rooted in God's love. Just like you would be angry if you saw a beautiful work of art being vandalized. I'm angry just thinking about that. So God's anger is a response to evil done to or by his human images. God would not be good if he didn't get angry at evil. There's a place called the McNay Museum, where I think of these beautiful pieces of art. They've got all kinds of beautiful pieces of art, and there's this beautiful statue outside of love, of the word love, L-O on the top and V-E on the bottom. People get their pictures taken by it. And I have a picture of my boys when they're really little, and then a picture of my boys reluctantly, recently recreating that picture, trying not to get angry at their dad for making them recreate this little picture. And I look at that picture, and I look at all the sculptures in the McNay Art Museum, and I think, there is not one sculpture, not one painting that even comes close to how beautiful these children are. And it would be anybody's children. God created humans, and they're very good. And God loves God's creation. God loves the people. And when they hurt, then God is angry when they hurt each other. It's the way you would be angry at a bully on the playground that's hurting someone. My wife is slow to anger, but her anger is the hottest when her children are in danger, as any mothers would be. When they hurt one another, when they mistreat one another, there is a righteous anger, but that's really different. There's a reason for it. God's anger is very much the same way. We think about the times when Jesus got angry. It was purposeful. There was a reason behind it. You think about the times when Jesus got angry. Maybe the first thing that you think about is when Jesus flips over the tables in the temple. He cracks a whip. And I'm sure Jesus was angry there, but it doesn't say that in the scripture. You want to go back and look this week. It doesn't say Jesus was angry. He was passionate. And I think he was angry, even though it doesn't say that. But he's angry at the abusive system and about people being taken advantage of by the religious establishment. And then there's another time where Jesus is, I believe he's a little angry when they're not letting the children come to him, and he lets the children come to him, and he says this choice thing that he says several times. He says, if anyone hurts one of these little children, it would be better for them to have what tied around their neck? A millstone tied around their neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, I always thought, you know, the millstone was like the first thing he could think of, like a heavy object that would sink. But I think it's really intentional why Jesus said millstone. That's the apparatus that the community gets its bread from or through. This is nourishment of the whole community. So when somebody hurts one of these little ones, it would be even better if the whole community lost its source of nourishment, along with this person that's hurting these little ones, drowned in the depths of the sea. That's some harsh language, right? And beautiful, too, because we have the same feeling about when somebody hurts one of the little ones. But the only time that it says that Jesus looked at someone in anger was when he looks at the Pharisees, when they're giving him a hard time because he's doing a healing. And it's an interesting story because it's not just any healing, it's the healing of a guy with a withered hand. And you think it's the withered hand is imagine that your fist, could you clench your fist like this? Clench your fist like this. There's a feeling that you get when you clench your fist, kind of angry. And then Jesus looks at the Pharisees in anger. And then he asked the man to stretch out his hand. Now, if you stretch out your hands, it says, as if the message is really for the clenched fist of the heart that the Pharisees have, the slowness to turn to see. They were silent, and he looks at them with anger. Now, the anger that Jesus has it says he looked at them in anger. The verb here is in the aorist tense, which is the way that the Bible says that it's passing. It's not an anger that stays. It's an anger that's there for a reason, and it has the proper duration, and then it has the result of healing. Jesus does something with his anger. Anger can be a very powerful emotion and something that is used to do good, to bring justice in the world. If you're angry, the best thing to ask is why? Why are you angry? Because sometimes we struggle with this and we get angry for things that maybe we shouldn't be angry for. We shouldn't stay angry about all kinds of resentments and struggles with anger. But God's anger isn't like that. Jesus' anger wasn't like that either. The clearest example, and I wanted to really end with this and to hit this home is in a story that Jesus tells. And I think it has so much to do with God being slow to anger. Now, the Pharisees are angry with Jesus at this time in Luke's gospel, Luke 15. They're angry. They're murmuring about how he eats with sinners and how he welcomes sinners. And he tells three stories. And one of his most well-known stories is the story of the prodigal son. And in this story, I never saw this story with God's anger in mind. But I think I'm more angry than the father in the story when I hear it. I know that the crowds would have been. So Jesus tells this story. Once there was a man who had two sons. And you know how it goes. The youngest of the sons asks the father, basically says to the father, you know, I wish you were dead. Why don't you go ahead and drop dead and give me all the money that's coming to me when you die. That's basically what he said. And that's unheard of. And the people that would have been hearing this story are already, no, he didn't. He didn't do that. That's just unheard of that a son would be so cruel as to ask the father for the inheritance before the father is even dead. And what does the father in the story do? Okay, here you go. You know, it's a bad idea. It's a bad decision. It's not going to make you happy, this money. You're going to probably take it to a faraway land and spend it unwisely, and then you'll have nothing, and you'll probably come crawling home. I mean, that's not what the father says. The father just goes ahead and gives it, knowing all that other stuff is true. You know, it's interesting. Over and over in the Bible, God's anger, the result of God's anger is not striking this person down here, lightning bolt over here. It's allowing the people to make these bad decisions and then living with the consequences of their bad decisions. Withdrawing God's protective order from them. A distance that's created by the bad decision and not by God, but God not forcing God's self on the people, but sort of letting them have their own decisions, go to the foreign land. It says, when he came to himself, he's feeding the pigs. You know how the story goes. He gets from bad to worse, and he's feeding the pigs, and he comes to himself, and he realizes that even the father's servants have it better than he does, and he rehearses this apology, and he's on the way to see the father, and then it picks up there. He arose, he came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. God's slow to anger, but quick to love. Running. You know, men during this time period did not run. It was undignified for them to run, their sandals flopping and flipping and flopping, and their robe all disheveled, running to welcome the son home. One of the things that it means for God to be slow to anger is that when we come to ourselves and we return with a repentant heart, with a soft heart that's ready to come back home, God accepts us with open arms, no matter how far away or what we've done. And that's what it means to be slow to anger. Mercy, forgiveness, part of who God is. This, so interesting even how it's written, this verse that we're memorizing, the God who is gracious and compassionate, the God who is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, those attributes of God, those characteristics of God encircle God being slow to anger. Now, we wouldn't want God to not be angry. And the things that break God's heart, they should break our hearts as well. But our anger should be purposeful and constructive like Jesus was, where his anger led to something. Now, there was an interesting question that was asked to me last week, and I've been thinking about it all week. It was a beautiful question. It was asked by one of our youth, and it was the question, do you believe in hell? I said, heck yes. But it's more complicated than that. It's more complicated than that. I believe that the wages of sin is death. And I believe that the things that we do, all the ways that we distance ourselves from God, that creates all kinds of hell for us, all kinds of distance and God's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Well, that gap is bridged by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. There's nothing that God has to do to ensure our demise if we distance ourselves from God, if we turn our backs. But the good news is that even when our backs were, even when while we were yet sinners, God is quick to love, quick to forgive. God sent Jesus, who gave his life for us, arms outstretched, giving his life for us so that there would be no distance, so that hell has been defeated. As we come to the table today, as you receive this gift of life, this bread of life, as you dip it into the cup and you remember that your sins are covered, some of those sins might have to do with losing control when you were angry. We struggle with anger. God doesn't struggle. Maybe some of those things that we need to ask forgiveness for sometimes are our indifference. Sometimes when we just grow numb to suffering and mistreatment of God's people, maybe that's something that we need forgiveness for as well. Whatever it is, know that you are welcome by a God who is compassionate, gracious, and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you are slow to anger, that you give us time, that you give us more chances than we deserve, and that no matter how far off we are, no matter what decisions we've made that have distanced us from you, God, we thank you for welcoming us home, for your arms outstretched. God, we thank you for Jesus and the way that you bridge that gap, for offering us new life in his name. God, when we are angry, help us to see clearly the reasons why. Help that anger to be a passing thing, not develop into a resentment that continues to poison us. And God, set us free. God, maybe for someone in here, this time, this communion is a chance to just be real with you, just to say, God, I leave this here. This isn't doing any good. Maybe today is a day where we can accept that invitation to come closer. God, to bring life into places in our life that are dry and dead. God, breathe new life into us. Help us to see your face in the faces of those that you have created, these images of you that you love so much. God, we thank you that when our love failed, your love remained steadfast. God, we love you and we pray all these things. In the strong, resurrected name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.